Today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put you on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and to stand in all things perfect. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of justice, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In all things taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the most wicked one. And take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who had taken account of his servants. And when he had begun to take the account, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had not wherewith to pay it, his Lord commanded that he should be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. But that servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And the Lord of that servant, being moved with pity, let him go, and forgave him the debt. But when that servant was gone out, he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence. And laying hold of him, he throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." And his fellow servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he paid the debt. Now his fellow servants, seeing what was done, were very much grieved, and they came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord called him and said to him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou besoughtest me. Shouldst not thou then have had compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee?" And his lord, being angry, delivered him to the torturers until he paid all the debt. So also shall my heavenly Father do to you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Put you on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. These words are taken from the epistle for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in today's epistle, St. Paul writes about the spiritual combat that each and every one of us must fight if we will save our souls. And he makes it very clear that our enemies are not of this world. He says, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. That is, our battles are not against other men. But he says, our wrestling is against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. In other words, our fight is against the fallen angels, the demons. Our fight is against Satan, and against his agents in this world. For they are the rulers of the world of darkness. They are the spirits of wickedness in high places. And they hate us and want nothing else than for us to be in hell for all eternity. Because of our fallen human nature, which is the effect of original sin, our weakened will, our darkened intellect, and our strong inclination to evil, because of these things, the battle for our soul, the fight against these rulers of the world of the spirit of the rulers of the world of darkness and the spirits of wickedness in high places, because of this, that battle is one that we cannot win without God's help. And so St. Paul exhorts us to turn to our Lord for this help, to prepare for this battle by putting on the armor of God. Put you on the armor of God, he says, that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil, that you may be able to resist his attacks and not fall for his deceptions. St. Paul then explains what this armor is, this spiritual armor that Almighty God has given us to fight the battle for our souls. St. Paul does this by comparing certain virtues to the various pieces of armor worn by soldiers in battle. He speaks of the breastplate of justice, the belt or girdle of truth, the shoes, as it were, of the gospel, the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and finally the sword of the Spirit, which he says is the word of God. By drawing this analogy to the armor and weapons of a soldier, St. Paul shows us the importance of the practice of virtue in the spiritual life. And following St. Paul's example, certain other spiritual authors, and even some Christian artists, have drawn similar comparisons between virtue and the armor of a soldier, though not all follow St. Paul's analogy exactly. One artist in particular sketched a picture of a soldier of Christ. And in this painting, the soldier is portrayed as preparing to go to war with Satan. In the work, the artist depicts the soldier as armed with the four cardinal virtues: prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. And the artist does this by labeling certain pieces of armor with these four virtues. In the painting, prudence is the soldier's helmet, for the virtue of prudence is the knowledge of how to act and how to conduct oneself rightly. It thus regulates and protects, as it were, our intellect or mind, and helps us to form right judgments about what we must do. The artist next depicts the virtue of justice, and he depicts this virtue as the Christian soldier's gauntlets, his armor gloves. And he does this because justice disposes us to render to everyone what belongs to him. In other words, it teaches us to give to God what is owed to him, and to give to our fellow man what is owed to him. Thus, the gauntlets of justice are meant to protect our hands, so to speak, to protect them from refusing to give to God what belongs to him, or to our neighbor what is his due, but rather to act justly in all things. The Christian soldier's breastplate, or body armor, as portrayed by this artist, is the cardinal virtue of temperance. Temperance disposes us to control our desires and to use rightly the things which please our senses. It regulates our judgment and passions, our lower nature, so that we may make use of temporal things and pleasures only insofar as they will help us save our souls. Temperance thus fortifies us. It's our breastplate against the attacks of temptation, against the movements of passion, and against all excesses. The final cardinal virtue depicted by the artist in this sketch of a Christian soldier is fortitude. Fortitude, according to this sketch, consists of the art of the soldier's sword and shield. And this is because fortitude is not only a weapon against difficulties, it's also a defense against the fear and discouragement that seek to make us negligent in our duties and in the practice of our faith. My dear friends, the virtue of fortitude, also known as courage, disposes us to do what is good in spite of the difficulty. It gives us strength to do good and to avoid evil, in spite of all obstacles. And it is thus of the utmost importance today. One author describes fortitude in this way. He says, fortitude is not simply one of the virtues, but all of the virtues at the moment of testing. He says this because fortitude is the virtue that gives us the strength to practice the other virtues when we are called on to practice them, when we are tested. It helps us undertake difficult tasks. It helps us to endure patiently difficult situations. It helps us overcome sadness and repress anger, to turn away from the uncharitable or impure thoughts. Basically, fortitude helps us to do what we have to do, especially when we don't want to do it or we don't feel like it. Because a lot of times we know what we have to do, but because of our fallen human nature and our selfish interests, we just don't do it. Fortitude helps us overcome that. Fortitude helps us overcome our fallen human nature and our selfishness because it strengthens us at that moment, the moment that we are called on to practice virtue. Anyone, my dear friends, is capable of practicing fortitude. Some people have this misconception about that virtue, that it's only for the strong people. It's only for those who have nerves of steel. It's only for those who don't feel nervous or fearful when things are going wrong. Fortitude does not mean this. On the contrary, some of the most courageous people in the world were not physically strong. They were young women, weak in the eyes of the world. They were the virgin martyrs who lived in times of persecution and who laid down their lives for Christ. Saint Philomena, for example. Saint Philomena was a 13-year-old girl who was scourged, drowned with an anchor, and even shot with arrows for the sake of the faith and her virtue, but who was delivered from death by an angel each time she was attacked, until finally the emperor just cut off her head. St. Agnes is another example. She, like St. Philomena, was about 13 years old. The Roman governor pressured her in every single way and resorted to the basest of threats to move her to deny her faith, but she refused. And for that, in the end, she was put to death. These are only two examples. There are so many young virgin martyrs that if the church wanted to, she could compose a litany in their honor. That's how many there were. These young women, weak in the eyes of the world, were looked upon as nothing by these mighty men, so-called mighty men. But they were truly among the most courageous people who ever lived. And while it is true that St. Philomena, St. Agnes, and martyrs like them lived a very long time ago, still they are models for our day and age, because fortitude is a virtue that we desperately need today. We need fortitude because we live in an age of conformity and compromise. It's sad, but all too true. Many, many people are willing to compromise their beliefs and their morals to conform to the standards of the world, to fit in with the world. This is something that we cannot give in to. Instead, we have to courageously profess and practice our faith, even in the face of the most difficult trials and circumstances. We must diligently carry out our duties, no matter what hardship, no matter what difficulty, no matter what obstacles may arise, no matter how down and discouraged we may be. We must bravely persevere in carrying our crosses, bearing our sufferings, our sorrows, and our difficulties. And to do all these things, we need fortitude. I mean, just to live a life, a Catholic life, in this world today, that requires a great deal of fortitude. To remain faithful to the true Mass and the sacraments, in spite of mockery and derisive remarks from others, and even in spite of the inconvenience it may cause us, that takes fortitude. It takes fortitude to speak the truth when we must, and uphold the teaching of the Church, especially in regard to the moral issues today. It takes fortitude to defend one's children from the corruption of the world, which is so readily available. It takes fortitude to go to work, to go to school, and to be exposed to the foul language and impure conversation and not partake of it. That takes fortitude. It takes fortitude to live a Catholic life today and to save our souls. And so, my dear friends, we must have the same courageous spirit as St. Philomena, St. Agnes, and the martyrs, who by God's grace and the virtue of fortitude did not shrink from standing up for Almighty God and their faith. Each one of us here today is called by God to be another St. Philomena, another St. Agnes. We are all called to be courageous saints. Saints who, like the martyrs, will not compromise and conform. Saints who, like them, will not run from the cross, from trial and sorrow. Saints who burn with the same fortitude that blazed in their souls. And we get this fortitude, we get this strength from three things: from prayer, from Holy Communion, and from confession. We have to pray every day, especially in time of temptation. We have to receive Holy Communion often. We have to go to confession frequently. We have to do these things if we will receive the courage we need to persevere and win the battle for our souls. My dear friends, when the spiritual warfare is at its fiercest, we have to remember we were not made to lose this fight. We were made to win it. And if we wield the sword and shield of fortitude, and we put on the armor of God, as St. Paul says, the battle for our souls is one we will not lose. For we will stand against the deceits of the devil. We will overcome the rulers of the world of darkness and the spirits of wickedness in high places. And we will win a victory for the ages, one that will last for all eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.